thank you for joining us today. This is Virtual Saguaro. It's the 29th of December, 2017, and I hope your year was good and you're happy. Today I have entering the studio in just a few minutes a couple millennials. We'll get a chance to talk to them, get their opinions on different things from politics and religion and college debts, you name it. They've got them all. This is the group that's age 20 to 36 years old, also called Generation Y. I think it's going to provide a very youthful viewpoint of the world as they are determining what our country and the world will be doing in the next few years. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Okay, I think I hear them now. Hey, come on in.
Yeah, we're just...
Oh my gosh, look at these two. Two millennials and a generation, what are we, S or P or Q or something like that.
Yeah, the old.
Look at the notepad you've got. You guys are really prepared. What do you got here?
Oh, this happens to be a notepad that belongs to a seven-year-old, so...
It's okay.
It's not... Describe it.
It is a leopard print notepad, I would say. Spiral bound velvet.
Pink? When did leopards have pink spots?
Good question.
Okay, so what's this? You knew you were coming for a podcast today. So what'd you do? Take some notes?
We did take some notes, basically about millennials and how we are kind of on the cusp of being millennials, but we do remember the generation before us that weren't millennials. So kind of on the struggles and the transitions that we've seen.
Okay. Well, for our listening audience, I'd like to let you know that there are two very fine people here, an Aaron and an Abby, and they've chosen these names today just because they like those names. And go ahead and tell us. So I'll refer to you as Aaron mm-hmm. and you as Abby. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay, great. That's so great. Aaron, what? Tell me more about these notes.
So Abby and I got together and we talked about how we were excited to talk about being millennials on a podcast and how we remember times before us that kind of...
kind of the evolution of technology since we've been young.
How many years different between the two of you?
We're about three.
Yeah.
About
so
three,
like
okay.
Two and three quarters, yeah.
All right, so you've got some ideas you want to talk about. How do you feel... putting into a box called millennials, what does that mean to you?
Well, it's a little bit hard because people talk about millennials as, millennials are so spoiled and they're so lazy and they have these technologies at their fingertips that they kind of just...
We get a bad reputation.
Yes.
Well, is any of it true?
I don't think so. I think it's all relative, I think.
Mm-hmm. I think we were talking a little bit about how people think that we have so many things to blow our money on mm-hmm. and spend money on, but we think that's relative to every generation. Mm-hmm. So I think millennials especially get a bad rep for spending excess money, but every generation has things that they can spend excess money.
When I did some research this morning, I found that a lot of millennials don't have jobs. Mm. So first of all, you both have jobs.
Yes.
So therefore, you do have money to spend. But there's a certain percentage of millennials, a larger percent than normal, right. who don't have employment.
Well, that's because I think college students fit into that category mm-hmm. as well.
Yes.
As millennials.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, I mean, we were unemployed technically in college.
Yep.
Well, I guess so. But when you tried to find a job and there wasn't one, and now you have a college debt,
yes.
then
right.
you're facing another issue. Are you debt-free or are you still paying your debts?
Oh, no. I'm going to be paying student loans for a long, long time.
Okay.
Same here, yeah.
Well, you have the income to do that.
Yes.
That's
yes.
good. Because the average millennial now has $33,000 in college debt.
Yeah.
And if they don't have a job, I don't know what they do.
I know. But it's kind of interesting because we were also reading a little bit about millennials today. And we were saying about how millennials, and I guess that would be 20 years old, you said?
Kids. Age between 20 and 36.
Okay.
And mm-hmm. there's no exact point. In fact, I even found there's two sets of two kinds of millennials, but I'll go on to that.
Right. So we were saying about how millennials are the most educated generation in American history.
I feel too, like, for me personally, like from a young age, we're looking towards high school right away, or we're looking towards junior high right away, and then we're looking towards high school right away, and then we're visiting colleges like so early on in high school, and then we visit college, and then like by junior year in college, they're asking you what you're going to do for an internship and what are you going to do for a job.
Right, for a career.
So it's very fast track.
So it sounds like both your school and your parents also helped encourage you in this direction?
For sure, yeah. Yep. Yeah. I would say it's like the norm too.
Right.
Like of our generation.
Right.
That was just kind of like what
just
we did.
Just to be really driven and to have that focus and always having something to work towards.
Mm-hmm. There was also, behind the scenes, the money has to come from somewhere.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So both the government and private institutions were more than willing to help people find a college education. There was also a lot of online certificates that were beginning to be presented for people to graduate from, some of which were just taking the federal money and then going out of business and not providing a valid certificate, but also many forms of money that you could draw from to get your degree in college education.
Yeah, I think scholarships were really big too. But this was kind of interesting. We found a stat that said millennials volunteer more than any previous generation.
But I think, aren't millennials concerned for social issues more?
Yeah, I'd say like as a generation, I feel weird speaking for an entire generation of so many people, but as a generation, I feel like we're more philanthropic, and the company that I currently work for now gives us a volunteer day as part of our time off. So we get our birthday off, we get week in between Christmas and New Year's off, and we get a volunteer day to dedicate towards any cause of our choosing. And then as a company, too, they also offer opportunities that we can use that day for.
That's
so
great.
Yeah, it's really cool. And I think more companies are doing that more, having like a social corporate responsibility program and being philanthropically minded.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Are you connected millennials into Facebook and Twitter and things like that?
Yeah, we were actually talking about that, too. So Facebook.
We were just talking about Facebook because I remember being in high school. I think it was my sophomore or my junior year of high school. And Facebook was just starting to emerge as you had to be in college to have a Facebook account. And I remember
there really was such a requirement?
Mm-hmm.
I had no idea.
And you had a drop-down list of, you had to choose which college you belonged to, and it was maybe a list of 10 or 12 colleges.
Well, originally it was just Harvard.
Right.
Originally. It was created at Harvard.
Right.
So it was just for Harvard college students, and then they expanded it out to different universities, and then it was all college.
Right.
But yeah, when you used it, it was all,
and
it was all college students.
And I remember going to school with some people and, you know, having them be able to create a Facebook page because they were being a part of college, and it was like, oh, you're kind of jealous. And, you know, just seeing Facebook evolve from what it was then to what it is now is crazy.
And then I got a Facebook in high school because you went to college and I wanted to keep in touch with her. And
right.
My parents were like, all right. And I wasn't allowed to get a MySpace, which was pre-Facebook.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
That's right.
Yeah. So that's, I mean, and now Facebook is like
phasing out.
Yeah. I feel like now Instagram is really big. I use Twitter all the time, too.
Yeah. But. Well, that's more for your job, too. I feel like Twitter is a super business-related thing now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it's being used by people.
I feel like for news as well. I use Twitter for news a lot, too.
How do you get news out of Twitter?
So you can follow, like, whatever news outlets you like.
Oh.
So you can follow, like, New York Times or Fox News or CNN, and breaking news comes up on Twitter. And it'll, you know, if you subscribe to the push notifications on your phone, you can get news alerts on your phone.
Yeah.
So that's how I get a lot of my news now, or, like, reading it on the way to work.
I'm sensing the word connected.
Yeah,
for sure.
For sure. Anne's been in the studio here very patiently listening to all of this conversation. She's got some good little points. Let's let her have some microphone time.
So I've been sitting here listening to this really interesting discussion between everybody. And you were talking about being connected and part of the connected generation. And I'm just wondering if, along with all of the connectivity, you see any downside to being connected all the time? And, you know, is there any pressures or What do you think about the 24/7?
Yeah, I definitely think there's a downside to it. Mm-hmm. I try to unplug once in a while, yep. Especially for my job. I'm always connected to the hip of my phone. Mm-hmm. So I think that like having everything at your fingertips can be overwhelming mm-hmm. at some points. And I think that millennials maybe think that more than the generation ahead of us, which I guess is Gen Z, just mm-hmm. because they haven't, in my opinion, I think it's maybe because they haven't seen the evolution mm-hmm. of technology. Like we kind of really saw it from like when we were kids, we didn't really have iPhones or anything like mm-hmm. that. And now that's like a constant.
Right.
And you can talk a little bit about that.
I mean, there's
that
nothing
too.
More kind of disheartening to me is, you know, when you go out to dinner and you see a group of kids and they're all just on their phones and nobody's talking to each other. And it's kind of a conscious decision in our generation to say to yourself, no, I have to put my phone away. Like, I don't need to look at my phone right now. Okay. And it's just kind of, it's just out of habit.
Yeah. I think my yeah. friends and I, too, when we're out to dinner or something, we'll be like, okay, everyone put their phones
absolutely.
Down. Like, we'll just kind of say that as a joke because everyone's texting someone or you're on social media and it's like...
And just even kind of mindlessly scrolling yeah. through things and you're not even doing anything half of the time.
Yeah, or like watching TV and scrolling through Instagram.
Yep.
One of my old roommates used to do that all the time. We were like, uh-huh. you're not even watching this.
Right.
So, yeah, I think like that's the downside of it. You're not as present in
yeah.
the present
okay.
moment and maybe like... listening to people as much as you should be. And mm-hmm. like you said, it's a conscious decision mm-hmm. to kind of do that. But I think yeah. that a lot of millennials make that decision
I think so.
Too. But
yeah. And it sounds like you both have the capacity to make that decision. You know, you read sometimes where, you know, some of the younger kids are just very, well, I guess the word addicted mm-hmm. is correct.
Totally. That's, yeah. That's yeah. definitely fair.
And I think yeah. some people in our generation too, but
yeah.
you kind of have to make that decision.
Because we remember a time when there was no iPhones and there yeah. were no devices that we were always on. We played outside after school.
We were looking at old pictures and we were playing chalk on the driveway. And we're like, how many kids do you see outside right. like playing chalk on the driveway now? Not mm-hmm. many. They have a chalk app on their yeah. iPad.
So true.
Hey, it's time to stretch your legs, stretch your ears. It's been great learning about millennials. We've got some great stuff coming up. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Okay, we just heard from two millennials, and they seem to be happy, balanced, and they're talking about being connected and whatever. Maybe we should go back a little bit and discover how they got to be called millennials.
Or maybe, you know, what's this whole generational thing about? You know, the baby boomers, of course, that has been coined as a name for quite a long time now.
Right.
But, you know, then you got the Generation X and Y and Z and millennial, and how did all this come about?
I don't know. It just seems like each topic holds about 20 years of maturity. You know, people are born, and then by the time they get to around 20 years old, they start influencing and becoming themselves, and they have characteristics that they give to the world, both of purchasing and beliefs, and they inherit a lot from their parents, of course, and their culture.
So this also must be because of changes in society. And especially because society changes so quickly now. So I'm interested to find out more about these millennials.
Well, probably the best way is ask them some questions.
Okay.
All right. I found on the web a whole bunch of questions that occur to define the millennials. Why don't we mm-hmm. take those same questions, which are on the website, by the way, and go ahead and ask them the questions and see how they respond.
Great.
Okay, let's do that. I'm gonna pull out some topics, and you tell me what you feel about these topics. What do you feel about politics? Are you a registered voter?
Yes. Yeah.
Yes and no.
We both are.
Definitely. Okay. You are diverging from the millennials at this point, by the way. Most
I know.
Most are not. Okay. Are you against war?
I would like to say I am. I mean.
What's holding you back?
I'm against war, I would say.
I feel like that's a hard question. I
mean, of course they are.
Yeah. I mean, nobody likes war.
I would like to reverse it and say I'm for world peace.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Without war.
In an idealistic world, but yeah.
Okay. What about any religious affiliations that you may wish to discuss or not?
I think that whatever you believe in, as long as you're not hurting anybody else, or as long as...
Yeah.
You know?
I think so, too. And I think a lot of millennials would categorize themselves as more spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
If they're, you know, they mm-hmm. don't want to affiliate with a certain religion or a certain sect of a religion.
Right.
And I went to a Jesuit college. Mm-hmm. So I think that, like, a lot of people that I went to school with, like, they were raised Catholic or they were raised Christian, but they would say that they're more spiritual
mm-hmm.
or they believe in God or they believe in something, but they wouldn't classify themselves as Catholic sure. or Jesuit or
yeah.
Christian.
And, yeah, and religions get a bad reputation because going back to the whole media outlet and negative sides to the media, everything you hear about religion is usually negative. So I think a lot of religions do get a bad reputation.
Okay. Millennials, I've read, also like to travel the world. Do you wish to travel the world? You have already traveled the world, haven't you?
We both have traveled in Europe
yeah.
a decent amount, and other countries, too.
Yeah, I would love to.
There was a statement that I did not understand by several sources, and they talked about you were less likely to trust others as opposed to a previous generation.
Hmm.
Is there any root in your feelings about that? They don't believe that the media is always telling an unbiased viewpoint, and so they wish they could trust their governments and their politics and their local schools and their local institutions and cities, but they feel like maybe that they've been let down.
Yeah. I think that maybe comes back to your first point, Erin, that of education,
mm-hmm.
that we're one of the most educated generations. So we're taught from such an early age to analyze everything and
right.
be critical
mm-hmm.
and think
point.
More about things. So maybe mm. we're less trusting of the information that just
sure.
comes over easy and we're
mm-hmm.
more cautious
right.
to
more critical.
It.
Yeah.
yeah.
You want more proof of it or something.
Yeah. I don't know.
Okay. And what is your feeling about living in cities versus which one
well,
do you like better?
You know, we were super lucky to grow up in such a beautiful place that
mm-hmm.
is definitely not a city environment. And we were raised near the water and, you know, lucky enough to enjoy the beaches and so have that foundation. And then I think it was really interesting that we both moved into more of an urban environment and got to appreciate those types of things as well.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just taking it back home. And I know both of our parents, when they visit us, and
it's a bit overwhelming coming from a different environment.
Yep.
Yeah. As far as, like, liking one better than the other, I think that you just, I think in high school I craved a different environment because I was so used to a rural environment. And now that I have a city environment,
mm-hmm.
it's so nice to come back to a quiet
mm-hmm.
environment sometimes. So it's kind of... I like a mix of the two.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe what I'm hearing, you've had the opportunity to sense both of them. Maybe
yeah.
some people never have had a quiet,
exactly.
more rural, and especially a nice, beautiful area.
And you have to be grateful for that,
yep.
to kind of pick and choose when you want to be in one place or the other.
A couple more categories, and we'll see how you fit with the generality.
Okay.
Abortion. Tough topic, I know. For it, against it, allow it, or you can say nothing.
I think that it's definitely a woman's right to choose, personally.
Mm-hmm.
Pro-choice as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Contraception.
I think it's a good thing. yeah.
Also something that shouldn't be controlled by the gut. Should be free, I believe.
Right.
I believe as well it's a good thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
What about the new freedom for gay rights and gay marriages and things like that? What's your
mm-hmm.
thoughts?
All for gay rights.
Yeah,
yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's kind of mind-blowing to us, I think, because we grew up with people who were just openly gay, and it's kind mm-hmm. of mind-blowing to me that it has to be such a struggle, I guess, to have rights for people who are gay. It seems like...
it seems counterintuitive, I think, for our generation, especially, I mean, like you said, growing up with people in high school that mm-hmm. were openly gay to at least a core group of people in such a small town.
Right.
And then moving to a city as well where people are just openly gay, and I don't really see it as a difference.
And I think one of the great things about the millennial generation is that, again, I can only speak for myself, but I think a lot of people are very open-minded and accepting of everybody's beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you would agree with that.
I would agree with that, too. And I think that comes from your earlier point of having different experiences and seeing different places and traveling the world and living in a rural environment and a city environment mm-hmm. and being privileged to have those different mm-hmm. experiences.
I think a point that we were discussing off the line a minute ago, and that is from a world's viewpoint of what millennials are, the people in this room don't represent them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we basically have food, and we basically have clean water, and we basically don't have a war in our backyard. We don't have our government may be corrupt to some degree, which probably they all are, mm-hmm. but they aren't having revolutions, wars and armies and fightings and so many things that we don't. That the majority of millennials are not in this country.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
We're very fortunate that way.
And recognizing your privilege in that way, too.
And I think we're very aware of our privilege, which that wasn't the case, I think, I don't know, 20 or so years ago. People, I don't think, would have thought about it as much.
Oh, maybe that's the connected world that's helping that viewpoint.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, I really want to thank you guys for coming today.
No, thank you. This was a blast.
Yeah, this is fun.
Is it fun looking at a computer screen and seeing different tracks go by and watching your digitized voice?
It is.
Okay, well, I wish you the very best in your millennial journey.
Thank you
so much.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, well, there you have it. A wonderful interview with some well-informed, educated, enthusiastic, expressive young adults will be determining the course of our future. You know, this podcast is also found on virtualsaguaro.com as well as many of our others. There's also an accompanying website for this particular millennial podcast with a lot of information and links that you can click for further information. So from Ann and I here in the studio, wish you guys have a great day.